Hi everyone, it's Janine here and welcome to Wed Talks. How is everyone today? Hopefully really good because it's Friday. It's always a good thing. So today I want to kick off the session before we start about with the blog. I'm going to just tell you about a new project that me and my husband have just designed. They're called Save the Date Photo Booth Sessions. We've already started doing them and got some very good feedback so far, and they're just so much fun, to be honest. But basically what these are is we've decided to pair our very beautiful booth with saving your wedding dates, and this is simply just because we think it's a cool retro idea. And these days, like, people spend so much money on save the dates, but you don't really get much value out of it. Like, it's literally so impersonal. You go online and you choose your save the date and then you send it out to your guests and that was it, and there's nothing personal about that whole experience apart from how much it hurts to part with your money. But basically what I've decided was a great idea was, what about if we decided you could come along, pay a similar price, to be honest, and have a great experience, like with your husband to be, spend the morning getting some, be just being silly in front of our photo booth, getting a load of pictures done, which we'll personalize for you with your wedding date on there, and you can have a go with all of our props. You can choose your backdrop, so if you've got a wedding theme, you can choose the theme for your wedding, like my foliage wall, or we've got a white one, marble backdrop, whichever one suits your wedding, really. And just get silly with it. And at the end of the session, you can choose which one's your favourite. If you're not sure, you can take all of the pictures from the day, go home, send us a picture of the one that you like the most when you've decided. And then what we will do is we'll get them all printed out for you, and then we'll send them in the post along with some envelopes. And then you've got your very own little save the date kit. Like, I think that's pretty cool. And I'm pretty sure nobody's doing it at the moment. And I don't know why, because you can just have so much fun with this, basically. And it's just a nice interactive morning with your husband to be. And when you've spent the cash on this, you're going to feel like you've got some value out of it. Like, personally, I know if I could spend the same price on this as fridge magnets, I would definitely be choosing this. But I'm biased, of course, and it's up to you. But the feedback we've had so far is awesome. Like, Lamara we had the other day, and Tommy, and they were just hilarious, absolutely hilarious. They had so much fun. They used our foliage backdrop and had just got silly with the props. We sat down, had some nibbles with them afterwards and had a few drinks. And yes, their save the dates are currently in the post. So fantastic, win-win. And basically, yes, if you're interested, head on over to our website, fill in a contact us form, and just let us know. The website is waterfallweddingdecor.co.uk. We'd love to hear from you. So moving on, today we're going to be talking about budgets, so the dreaded budget. And I know that this is the scary one because it's money, and we all wish that weddings would cost nothing, or, you know, not cost as much as they do. And when you think about the actual cost of a wedding and the average cost of a wedding, it's a lot. Like, you could get a house for this much. You could put a down payment for a mortgage and get a really nice house for the price that you can spend on a wedding. But people are doing it. And the thing is as well, you pay it off in installments, so you don't really notice the hit. You're probably going to have a lot of people help you with this as well. So mum and dad or family and friends, like, so you're not going to be taking the hit yourself, and there's two of you as well, so remember that. And the reason why you're doing it is because you want to get married and have a great time, have a great party. So just keep reminding yourself of that, really, because the budget can get you sometimes and it can get you down, but it just shouldn't, because you've chosen this path. Like, you've dedicated yourself to planning a wedding, so just stay positive. And you go into the whole wedding thing knowing it's going to cost a lot, so you just kind of have to get over it pretty quickly, to be honest. So We've designed a simple method to help you with your wedding planning anyway. So if you head on over to our website, it's all on there as well, waterfallweddingdecor.co.uk/blog. And the title is Budgeting Tool, a simple method to help couples with wedding planning. So moving on to the first thing, the main thing that you need to sort of wrap your head around is how much you're going to spend. Decide a budget with your partner, sit down and talk about what you want to spend and put that figure, write it down somewhere and try your hardest to stick to it. I know it's hard, it's really, really hard to not go over, but if you sort of have a ballpoint figure, it will really help you to stay grounded, and then you can utilize a budgeting tool to figure out how much you need to save for each aspect of your wedding. That will really help you with the planning. So the average spend, according to the statistics last year, people spent on average £32,000 on weddings. Like, that is nuts, and it definitely is. It's crazy, that's so much money, but that is the average spend, apparently. So I know that that is why, and I can totally understand now, why brides and grooms are pulling each other's hair out with stress, because they've got to save that much money. That's mental, but that is it. So I have kind of decided that, how do you tackle this? How do you tackle this stress? How do you get over the fact that you're about to spend this much money on a wedding and you can't avoid it because that is the average spend? But obviously you don't have to spend that much. If you've got less budget, make sure you stick to it. Just write it down and then stick to your budget. But even if you spend 10,000, that's a lot of money on one day. That is what everybody says, and because that's what we feel. So anyway, I've got a technique. I just think it's a way to psychologically tell your brain how to get over this situation. So the way I think you should be getting over it is, tell your brain, if you can truly manage to save up that amount of money in 1 year, what else are you capable of? Because that is crazy. If you manage to save up even £10,000 in 1 year, that is saying a lot about you, that you are extremely disciplined and able of saving up that sort of fortune in 1 year. It's incredible. So give yourself a big pat on the back and say, I'm going to do that again. And imagine what you can spend your next £10,000 on. Or if your budget is £30,000, imagine if you saved up 30 grand the following year, what you're going to treat yourself to instead? What you're going to get? Because you're obviously not going to get married again. Get yourself a boat. Get yourself a holiday home. Like, somewhere will sell one for 30,000, or at least a big, you know, a down payment on one. It's incredible. Like, that is incredible. So if you should be telling yourself, if I can save that much money in 1 year, then imagine what I could do next year with that sort of money. And that is your saving challenge put forth to you. It's just a way of getting over it, to be honest. Right, so moving on, because I'm totally over that now. We're going to move on now. So get your budget. And now what you want to do is you want to calculate a percentage of that for each topic associated with the wedding. So each of your projects, your mini projects that you need to complete to fulfill your wedding. So you've got your venue, your food, entertainment, styling, flowers, all of these things are topics, and they're the projects that you need to complete to ultimately can complete the huge project that is your wedding. And you, each of these, you're going to spend a certain amount of money on them. We've put them into percentages, and again, this is based on averages of national statistics of what people are spending on average for each part of their wedding. So the first one, and the probably the first thing that you do is, and what you spend the most on, is your venue and the food. You're going to spend about 50% of your budget on it. This is what all of your money pumps into, because the venues will have a package designed for you where you get your food, you get your drinks on arrival, you get your champagne toast, and your cutting of your cake, all of these things will be in your wedding package, and you'll be pumping about 50% of your budget in there onto that. So if your budget is 10,000, I just always use that because it's easy, then you're going to be paying about 5,000 to your venue. But don't forget, this will include all of your food. So obviously some places don't offer the food. If you're getting married like in a teepee or something, you'll be getting your own catering company probably. They'll probably organise it for you though. But yeah, on average, about 50%. So moving on, the second thing that you want to be budgeting for, which is the second highest cost, is the wedding dress, which doesn't surprise me. I wasn't actually surprised about that, to be honest, because it's actually all of these figures, when I look at them, really, really reign true to my wedding budget and how much I spent on things. I can totally relate to this. I probably spent about maybe $1,500 on mine. So they say the average percentage of your budget that you should be saving for a dress is about 9%. So yeah, make sure that you save about this much, whatever your budget is, figure out 9% and put that to one side. I mean, you might not spend that much because there's so many dresses available these days online, like from people aren't always sticking to tradition. I had a friend the other day that showed me her daughter's wedding dress, and she'd got it from ASOS for like £130, and it really, like, it looked like a Meghan Markle style dress, and it was beautiful, and she looked really, really cool, and she had like some yellow sandals, and yeah, believe it or not, like, that doesn't sound traditional at all. But these days, I mean, who is following the tradition in weddings these days? Not many people, and I'm all for it. I think express yourself to how you want to portray yourself. Like, you know, it's just brilliant how the weddings are just becoming such a way to express yourself and throw a really fucking good party. So yes, basically 9% is apparently the average, but that doesn't mean it has to be yours. The next one is photography. So on average, you're going to be saving about 8% of your budget on photography. Yeah, this is definitely the going rate. I think if you're going to get a photographer, you'll struggle to get it at a lesser percentage because the value's there. Like, they really do a lot. So you don't, it doesn't stop when they leave the party, you know. They do have to go home and sit there and traipse through. They can take thousands of pictures. And even though, like, I've heard people make comments in the past and say, oh, they do it on purpose, so they get lots of pictures and then they just have to delete half of them, and that's not a service. But it is, I can, like, take my hat off to photographers because they have to take so many pictures to go home and actually have a little look through them, and there'll be loads of rubbish ones, like a lot of rubbish ones, and then there'll be a few golden ones. So, and they're the ones that they're going to be passing on to you. So they have to spend a lot of their time at home traipsing through these pictures and editing them just so they look, you know, they can create something. And there's a lot of pressure to make sure that, like, to please you as well. So they want to do a good job for you. So that's why they do take, like, hundreds of photos. And, like, I know there's a couple of photographers that I know of in particular that really do get involved in the photo shoots. They invite couples along to a pre-wedding shoot as well sometimes, and then even, like, offer anniversary shoots, like, a year after the wedding. So there's lots of perks to getting a professional photographer. I definitely recommend it. So, and I think that this is the sort of thing that you want to be investigating a little bit more, researching your, what type of photography do you want? Because I didn't know this, but until we started out in the wedding industry, but there are so many different types of photographers out there. Like, some are doing some sort of really dark and moody themes, and then some are doing really light and airy. Some, you know, they've all got a style. So try to have a look at their album before. And Instagram's an amazing one. Like, you'll see all of their pictures on there. And if you think, oh, that's a bit of me, then get them or just inquire, just definitely. And if you're looking for some advice and you don't know, you know, who to get because you're stuck who to choose for your photography, you can just ask around, join our Wed Talks group, for example. We're on Facebook. There's a little small team of suppliers on there, and we're just here to offer you some support and advice. And that's Facebook.com/Wed Talks, and we can just help you with finding suppliers in general if you're stuck with anything. But yeah, so about 8% of your photography, of your budget, sorry, should be going on photography. So following this, if you have one, about 7% of you will be 7% of your budget, sorry, will be spent on a videographer. Not everybody will go for this, and if you don't, it just sort of pumps the money up into other aspects. But lots of people are doing videography now for their weddings, and I completely understand why, because it's just stunning. We recently did a photo shoot, and we had an extremely talented videographer on there, Andrew Collin, and his stuff is just amazing. He puts backing music to the video, and it just, you really get emotionally attached, and you'll love it. Like I really recommend getting a videographer on board, because it's lovely. And we actually had one for our wedding, and it was just such a good thing. And I mean, I wouldn't say I look at it all the time, but I have actually gone back and genuinely watched the video again. Like, it was our anniversary the other day, and we watched it then. It was just beautiful just to look back at it, and it does bring a tear to your eye. And it's just nice to just see all of your guests as well, just enjoying the day, because you don't see your wedding from everybody else's point of view, and to see your wedding sort of like from the guest's point of view as well, and from a bird's eye view in some ways, because some of them have drones now, including Andy. And yeah, basically, just to see your wedding from a different point of view is absolutely amazing, because you just miss a lot of it because you're in your own little bubble all day. So I definitely think getting a videographer on board is a great way to spend some of your budget. Entertainment is going to be roughly about 7% of your budget. So this will include like your band, DJ, photo booth, and all things like that. Roughly you're going to be saving about 7%. So of course, again, if the higher the budget, the more money you have available to spend on these sorts of things. We, at our wedding, we had a boat, and it was awesome. So we had Chris, the riverboat man, who took our guests out for little journeys during the day, and it was fantastic. The kids absolutely loved it, and it was just such a good idea, so I'm glad we did that. But yeah, so that's that would be part of entertainment. And then like things such as outdoor games and all sorts, and that's also going to be classed as your entertainment. But you can get these things on a budget, some of them, like especially the outdoor games, and people might want to make, you might want to make some, like get into your crafts and things with your friends, have a crafts day and start making games for outdoor games for your guests and for the children to keep them entertained. There's really endless opportunities out there for ideas. Pinterest, again, is a great one. It's full of ideas. So yeah, entertainment, roughly about 7%. So about 4% of your budget is going to be saved towards your decor and styling. And this is going to include all sorts of things like your light up love letters, tables, chairs, vases for the centres of the tables, all sorts of table centrepieces, carts, food carts, sweet carts, what else is there, archways, all sorts of things, your cake area, just decoration, lighting, lanterns hanging from the ceiling, all sorts of stuff. So this is about 4% of your budget. So figure what that is and then put that to one side, and that should cover all things decor. And last but not least, the finishing touches, so to speak, and what's going to cost about 2.5% of your percent of your budget are the shoes, the rings, and the hair and the makeup. So these are all the sort of fun little last bits to do, like the finishing touches, the things that make everything complete, that complete your outfit. Yeah, with the hair and makeup, you're more than likely going to go for a trial for both before you go ahead. You might even have a few. You can get them done on your own, or you can go with your friends, family, make a little day of it. Lots of them will come to your home as well, or you can go to the salons and have them done. But yeah, I love the idea of somebody just coming to your house and doing it all, because it's so much more convenient for you. But then some people love the pampering side at the salon, you know, you get your hair washed and everything. Yeah, so there's all sorts of opportunities out there for you, for, you know, the finishing touches, and Instagram again will be your best friend, and Pinterest for ideas. Pinterest will be very good at looking for inspiration, and then looking for local people. You probably want to head on over to Instagram and or like join a local Facebook group for wedding professionals, just to see if you can get in touch with some people, and then look at their Instagram and see if you just like what they do, see what they have to offer. Yeah, that's it really. So I really hope that this guide for the budgeting helps you out. I hope you get lots of use out of it, and it does genuinely help you with your budgeting. If you find it's just a load of crap, just give me some feedback. You know, I love to hear it. And yes, really, really good luck with it all. Just before I head off, there are some final things that I just wanted to add on there that we didn't mention in your budgeting, because it wouldn't really work out as a percentage. This is usually just a fixed price for most of these things, but it's just to do with some hidden costs that I didn't even realize are associated with weddings. Completely makes sense, but yeah, I just didn't realize, I didn't even think about these things basically. But one of them is to do with giving notice. When you get married, basically you have to go onto like your local council website and give notice and fill out a form to say that you and your husband to be are engaged and you want to get married. You put in all your details and all sorts of things and personal details, and then you will be asked when you want to get married, and you would have decided on your date. You might have a few, and the few, what I mean by that is you might want to get married at 2 o'clock, but the wedding date that you want to get married 2 o'clock on doesn't, the registrar's not free then. She might just be available for 12 o'clock and 4 o'clock. So that day might be going out the window for you then. So you'll have a look on your other date that you were thinking of getting married and seeing what times are available then. But basically the whole point of this form is to book the registrar for your wedding. And she'll have allocated time slots available, and you just choose the date, choose the time, and then book her, and you'll get told to come along to a meeting with your registrar. So you'll meet them, and then they'll just go through all of the personal details, check that you definitely want to marry each other, there's no funny business going on, and so to speak. And yes, you'll at the end of that appointment get given, you'll have to pay for your marriage license certificate, for which you'll be given to you on your wedding day, as well as for her to call out and come to your wedding. It's a call out fee, and that is about £500 in our local area. I'm sure around the nation it will be different in different counties, so check what that is beforehand. But yes, don't get lumbered with any hidden charges, you know, make sure you save up for that and have enough money for it on the day, because it's not cheap, you know. Another one, the final thing, was just mentioning about wedding dresses, the adjustment. So if you are getting one from a dressmakers, bear in mind that they will order you your size, what they think you are, but they will also more than likely have to adjust it nearer the time, because we do fluctuate, you know, over time with our weight. You might be planning to lose some or put some on, and yeah, basically they'll need to do some adjustments more than likely on your dress, and that's not included usually in your dress fee. So they'll have different packages for adjustments, like if it's a very basic adjustment at the, you know, if it has to be taken up, or if it has to be taken up and in, then they're going to charge you a bit more. But all of these things you can find out from the dressmakers and find out beforehand, but it's just to make you aware about these hidden fees that you might not realize or budget for, and be lumbered with at the end and think, oh damn, I didn't really, you know. So anyway, that is it. Good luck, as I said, with your budgeting. I hope this helps, And yeah, I am now going to leave you with that. Checking out. Thank you. And I'll see you next time. Bye.